So this morning we're looking at what I've called being a disciple of Christ in 2020. Being a disciple of Christ in 2020. Now, there are a number of things I just want to point out this morning. Three things mainly. We're going to look at a portion of scripture here, and we're going to look at the disciples that Jesus Christ picked. And you'll realize that the guys that he picked, the people that he picked, are very similar to us. In fact, if we were to weigh them on the character scale, when Jesus chose them, I believe a lot of us here probably had, you know, were probably better behaved than some of them. And what that does for me is that it gives me real hope. It gives me real joy that all that Jesus needs from you and I is not within, sorry, it's not outside of our reach. It's not something extraordinary that we have to do. But we'll look at some of those things this morning. So being a disciple of Christ in the new year, I want us to read a portion of scripture as the main text, and I'll go into what I want to talk about today. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. If you haven't got your Bibles, you can just look at the screen. We'll project the words there. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. And I'll read. So this is how it's talking about when Jesus was commissioning his disciples, who he called to be apostles. And let's read this. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles were these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So we looked at this in Bible study we did a few weeks ago, but this is just what has been impressed in my heart for so long. So Jesus picked these men, 12, to be his disciples and the apostles. Now, I want us to just reflect on a number of things here. Jesus was going to leave the earth very shortly, spent about 3 years. Now, he was coming to die for the sins of mankind. Before Jesus came, it had been spoken about right from the book of Genesis. God said, when Satan deceived Adam and Eve, that, you know, this woman's seed will come and trample upon you. So the prophecy of Christ coming to save man had spanned thousands and thousands of years. Isaiah spoke about it. A number of prophets spoke about it. So this was a very important thing that Jesus was coming to do on earth here, to pay for the sins of mankind so that we can have access to God, so that we wouldn't go to hell. So Jesus was now choosing people that he would leave this task to. Now, let me ask us a question here. If you had something really important to do, what kind of people would you look for? Okay, let's say, for example, if you're an employer and you're looking for someone to handle, maybe you've worked for, you started a company with your sweat and blood. You had stayed up all night over a number of years trying to make the company work, so on and so forth. And you're now about to leave this company to someone. Who would you leave that to? What kind of people would you be looking for? Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'd be looking for a list of things. I'd be looking at reliable, so many things. But let us look at the characteristics of the men that Jesus chose to leave this incredibly important task to. We'll look at some of the things about these men that he chose. Now, the first thing that we realize from these men is that they were ordinary men. They were fishermen, they were tax collectors. They were not really, there was really nothing particularly notable about them. They were not rulers, they were not chief executives, they were just ordinary people. If you look at Matthew chapter 4 and verses 18 to 20, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. These men were ordinary men. It says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, well, fishers. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightaway left their nets and they followed him. So Jesus here was walking. He saw Peter and Andrew. What were they doing? Just fishing. So can you imagine if you're looking for someone to hand over your business to or something really important? Would you go to River Avon just down the road and just be looking at the people who are fishing there and just say, you know what? I've got something really important to do. Come with me. Would you do that? Where would you look? But these guys were ordinary men. Nothing spectacular at all. That's the first thing we note about them. Now, the next thing we note about these men that Jesus chose is if we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the first part. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the first part. Acts chapter 4, 13. It says that now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, can we have this in NIV? It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. I'll stop there. So they grabbed Peter and some of the other disciples and they dragged them to the front of the, you know, to the council, to the religious council then, the Sanhedrin. And they were threatening them and said, don't preach in the name of Christ. Don't do this. We will deal with you. We will kill you. We will all sorts of threats. And these guys noted something about the disciples. In all the commotion that was going on, they noticed that these guys were unschooled. They were not theologians in any way. They hadn't gone to Bible school. They hadn't gone to the best the best theological schools of the day. And there was a comment that was passed about them that these guys are unschooled. These guys are just, if you want to use British terms, riffraffs. Or is that old British English? They were just there, unschooled. Nothing interesting about them at all. Now, these were the men that Jesus chose. Ordinary men, nothing extraordinary about them, unschooled. Now, the other thing about the people that Jesus chose was this. Let's look at John chapter 18 and verse 10. They were there, some of them were really very brash, and actually some of them were quite violent. If you said something that upset them, they could really get they could really get violent. How do I know? Looking at John chapter 18, verse 10, it says, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus, just in case we wanted to know whose ear he cut off. So can you imagine you're arguing with someone, right outside in front of the hotel there, and you've just come to the service and you've asked the guy at the counter to give you a lemonade, and he said, sorry, the bar is closed, we're not serving lemonade. And someone from the church here gets really upset and he starts arguing with the guy and says, it's just 2 o'clock. What do you mean you're not serving me lemonade? Call your manager. And the guy says, sorry, my manager is not around. And they're arguing. And the guy draws out a sword and cuts off the ear of the chap at the bar. Now, what perspective would you have about that kind of person? I can bet you they were here at the headquarters. They will say, can you imagine in that CFT church, someone cut off another person's ear? And that person will become quite notorious. Definitely, if you came to me and you were asking for a recommendation and you're saying, look, Pastor Benson, I know you're a really good judge of character. I have this really important thing I need to do. Can you just recommend someone from the church? I know you guys are really nice people in that church. I know you're a nice guy. Obviously, I am. Recommend someone. If I said, oh, by the way, I have a gentleman here. His name is Peter. Kind of like a slightly brash guy. Would you He will be able to help you. And you now go, tell me more about this Peter guy. Well, nothing much. You get a bit upset sometimes, but be careful. Make sure you haven't got a knife beside you. You could actually chop your ear off. Now, what would be your perspective about that kind of man? Tell me, honestly speaking. You know what? I don't think I'd invite him over for dinner or lunch for that matter. I would keep him at a distance. But Jesus still chose this man. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now, the other thing as well about the people that Jesus chose is Matthew chapter 20. If you look at 20 to 21, Matthew chapter 20 to 21. And these guys, the fourth thing is that they were really, really political guys. They were really politically inclined. So what they were saying is like, you know what? I think that Pastor Ben said, I'm not quite sure I like the way he preaches. I'm a better preacher. In fact, when Pastor Ben, I want to be the preacher. I want, you know, these guys were scheming and they were saying, you know, when Jesus leaves, someone's got to take over. And they were quarreling amongst themselves. Then some of them now said, you know what? What we'll do, we're going to turn the tide of events here. So can you imagine the plot that these guys did? They were arguing amongst themselves. They were saying, how can we convince Jesus to make me like his second in command? They were like, should we tell him this? Should we tell him this? Should we tell him this? They now said, two of them now said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get mom and we're going to ask mom to come over and have a word with Christ. And the Bible tells us that James and John, they got their mom and their mom came to Christ and knelt down and said, can my sons sit one on your right and one on your left? I mean, come on. Can you imagine that? So can you imagine if, for example, you're trying to convince someone at your office to give you a promotion, maybe your boss, and he's like, oh, I'm not quite sure about this. Then you call your mom and your mom comes to the office and kneels in front of your boss and says, oh, my son's been looking to be promoted for years. Please help him. What do you think will happen to that guy? Even if that guy doesn't like you, he will just be taken off. That what these guys did it to Jesus. They were playing politics with him. So we're looking at the kind of people that Christ, that Jesus chose in this circumstance. Now, the other thing about them is that when the rubber hit the road, these guys were nowhere to be found. Let's look at Mark chapter 14, verse 50. Mark chapter 14 and verse 50. Mark 14, 50. Now, people came to arrest Christ. And do you know what these guys did? The Bible tells us. Mark 14, verse 50. It says, then everyone deserted him and they fled. Everyone deserted him and they fled. So these are guys that had been with Jesus for over 3 years. Going up and down, he fed them, he clothed them. He fed them, he clothed them, he did, you know, he looked after them, he healed some of their moms, some of their dads. Do you understand? These guys had been with Jesus for over 3 years. They had said, Jesus, anywhere you go, we're going. We're actually prepared to die for you as well. And they were going from place to place with him. But when the tire hit the road, the Bible tells us something about these guys. It says they fled and they deserted Christ. So I was just thinking to myself, if I were to look at just these few characteristics of this people that Christ chose, would you have made the same choice that Christ did? Would you have placed something that was so important to you and to the future of the world in the hands of these people? I don't think so. I don't think so. But the Bible tells us something about God. It tells us something about Christ. It says that God doesn't look or view things the way we view things at all. God doesn't use our criteria. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that if God were to use the criteria that we use, that we use in, that we would use in selecting people to hand over very important things to, we probably wouldn't have chosen any of these guys at all. But one thing about God is that God doesn't choose people based on the criteria that we use. He looks at something else. So I was just wondering that, God, why did you choose these guys? What was it about them that moved them from being chosen to leaving everything about your mission, everything about mankind, saving mankind, into the hands of these folks? Then I realized that these guys, there was something about them that I believe God saw. There was something in their character. There was something that was, there was something internal that was not so obvious that I believe made God to, you know, to be really, you know, pleased with them. And there are things that we can work on as well. So I'll just look at a number of things. The first thing that I noted about these guys was in Acts chapter 4 verse 13 that we read. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And I believe that if we take these things to heart as well, God can really, we can be really useful in the hands of God. We can be truly, well, we can be disciples that God can really count on. So the first thing is Acts chapter 4 verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled ordinary men, they were astonished. Now, this is the part that I want to zero in on. It says, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men had been with Jesus. So the very first thing we see about them is the fact that they spent a lot of time with Jesus. To the point that everybody around them realized that, hang on, even though these men are ordinary men, even though they're unschooled, even though they're brash, even though they have all these things about them, there is one thing that sticks out with them. It says they noticed that they had spent time with Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean for us? What that begins to tell me is that even though we don't have any natural skills in the context of what God wants to do or God working through our lives, even though we might think that, well, we're not theologically trained, we don't know the Bible enough, so to speak, even if we think about all these things that these men had, one thing stands out. It's that as we begin to spend time with Christ in His Word and just focusing on God, something will begin to happen to you and I. Do you understand? So the first thing is that they spent a lot of time with Christ. But that was not just all, that's not all that they did. The second thing I noticed about the disciples is in John chapter 8 verse 31. John chapter 8 verse 31. John 8:31. It says something there. Jesus was saying something about his disciples. John 8:31. John 8:31. He said to his disciples, he says, to the Jews who believed on him, he said, if you hold on to my teachings, thank you. If you hold on to my teachings, then you are my disciples indeed. John 8:31. It says, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the thing I want to point out here is this. These guys held on to the teachings of Christ. They valued the teachings of Christ. And Jesus was saying here to everybody, look, if you're truly my disciples, you will hold on to my teachings. So we see something about these guys that even though they were unschooled, even though it appeared that they didn't have all the natural abilities, they were not, you know, chief executives or nothing like that. They spent time with Christ. And not only that, they held on to the teachings of Christ. They valued the teachings of Christ. Same thing with us, that as we begin to spend time with Christ, reading the Bible, coming to these kind of meetings, inquiring, turning our hearts to Christ, saying, you know what? I want to know you. And as we hold God's words in high esteem, not saying, well, this is just, you know, something. I don't like this part of the Bible. It's too harsh. That part, okay, I like that part. That part is for Brother Flo, the evangelist. That part is for Sister Mel, the singer. Which part? No. It says they held on to all the teachings of Christ. And something began to change in them. Do you understand? So that's the second thing that you note about these guys. The third thing you note about them is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. Peter was saying something to Christ. He says, look, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? The third thing we realized about these guys is that they prioritized Jesus Christ above everything in their lives, above their wife, their husband, their friends, their mom, their dads, their friends. As far as they were concerned, Jesus had first priority in their lives. Every other person, every other thing, their job, their career, their aspirations, every other thing, even though legitimate, was secondary to Christ. So Peter said, look, we've left everything for you. Everything. Holding Christ in the highest priority. So we begin to see something about these guys that was not really apparent to a lot of people. The other thing we see here is in John chapter 21, verse 17. John chapter 21, verse 17. These guys really loved God. And Jesus was asking. It says, Peter answered him. No. John chapter 21, 17. Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered and said, he said the third time he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So we begin to see something about these guys. These four things. That they spent an enormous amount of time with Christ. They valued the word and the teaching of Christ. They prioritized Christ above everything. And they really, really, really loved God. And I began to realize that, look, the call to follow Christ, the call to be true disciples of Christ, is not really, the starting point is not, oh, what can I do for God? Can I do this? Can I evangelize? Can I do this? All those things are good. Can I tell people about church? Can I? You can do all those things and you should. However, that's not where it starts. God is telling us from his word this morning that it starts with you. God wants you. He wants your time. He wants you to prioritize him above everything. He wants you to value him. Do you understand? He wants you to love him. So these things are not extraordinary things. So God wants your heart. God wants my heart as well. And I believe that as God has your heart in this context, nothing will be impossible to be done. Something will happen to you next year that you'll be amazed about yourself. You will not recognize yourself. Why? Because it will be God walking through you. It will be God changing you. It will be God working through you to touch other people as well. Now, would it be because of any major quality that you have? I don't think so. No. It will just be you and I spending time with Christ, holding on to his teachings, valuing him above everything in our lives and really loving him from deep within our hearts. And I believe that as we take this approach, God will really, you know, touch and change our lives in the new year. In Jesus' name. Let's just all rise and we'll just pray this morning.